serve Jesus. And by that call, that means we're called to serve one another. So we serve Him by serving one another, by being committed to one another's interests. Jesus was a servant. He says in Luke 22, verse 27, He says, I am in the midst of thee as one who serves. He's the one that says the greatest of all will be the servant of all. The only servants can be entrusted with greatness. If you don't learn to serve, you'll never receive or experience the greatness of Jesus Christ. Serving others' people's purpose will determine whether you ever get that at which of your own. It says in Luke 16 and verse 12, He says, if you've not been faithful in that which belongs to another, who will give you that which is your own? The best way that you can get something from the Lord, the best way to find your purpose is to serve somebody else's purpose. David last week talked about God finding. I'll tell you how you find that, is you find somebody, you say, Lord, all right, whose purpose are you going to join me to? And as you serve that person's purpose, you're more committed to their success. Somewhere along the line, the Lord says, I like that attitude. Give him something of his own. When I got out of prison, I became a youth minister. I served the pastor there on my days off. I was at his house. I was mowing his lawn. I was washing his car. I did everything I could to make a success. Everything that I did, I put his name to it, made sure he got all the credit. I didn't need any of the credit. And somewhere along the line, the Lord says, I like that. Give him his own ministry. How I got the ministry I'm involved is I serve somebody else's. And when God looks to choose somebody, it says many are called but few are chosen. God looks for servants. You can see it in Jacob. Jacob was called from birth, but God didn't choose him until he was serving his uncle Laban for 14 years. And when he was a servant, then God chose him. Moses was called at birth, but he didn't choose him while he was in the Egyptian palace. He waited until he got out into the wilderness, and he served his father-in-law, Jethro, for 40 years as a sheep tender. And at the end of 40 years, when this man had a servant's heart, the Lord said, I choose you. Joseph got a dream where everyone was going to bow down, but God didn't choose him when he shared the dream. He chose him when he went and he was in prison serving the interest of others. And then the Lord says, now I choose you because you have a servant's heart. David was anointed king when he was 15, but he wasn't crowned king till he was 30. It was when he was faithfully serving in his father's sheepfold that the Lord says, I choose you. Not Eliab, not anybody else, but you, because he was a servant. We need to be committed to serving one another. Someone say amen. And then last but not least, let's turn to Malachi. You need to be committed to financial support. Now, I'm sorry that talking about money offends people. I really am. That's one of the biggest things that the devil has done, is he's had a lot of charlatans out there that has abused a lot of people, and as a result, there's a lot of disillusionment about money. I make no apologies for talking about money. And the reason why I don't is because I understand where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. I firmly believe if the Lord was to come today into your life and He wanted to evaluate your spirituality, the first place He'd look is your checkbook. He could get a good reading from how spiritual you are by where you put your money. And I want you to know it's not your money anyway, it's His. Not just the 10%, all of it is His. That doesn't mean He requires 10% and you get to do with what you want with the other 90. No, He says, I require 10% for the church. In the Bible, there are three forms of giving. There is tithes, which always go to whatever church you go to. That's 10% of your income. And then there is offerings, that is for ministries like Hope Way that do specialized work in different areas, and God puts a burden on you, and that's an offering. If it's in the church, that offering goes to missionaries. And then there are alms. Alms, anything that you do for the needs of brothers. And let me tell you, biblical giving is not one of the three, it's all three. You do all three. You give a tithe, you give an offering, and you give an alm. And God decided to do that because the vehicle that He has chosen to bless you with your abundance is the vehicle of giving. He says, you want something, sow something. What you sow will determine what you reap. A lot of us saying, Lord, I don't have anything. And He says, you don't because you ate your own seed. He says, well, where is it? And you look over there and there's a brand new stereo set. That's where your seed went. Instead of sowing it, you ate it. And as a consequence, you don't have any crop coming in. I mean, God is the law of the law of sowing, you reap what you sow. I mean, you can't eat your seed and say, all right, I mean, all these farmers out here saying, all right, I plowed my field, I fertilized it, and they're sitting at home watching to see if anything will grow, and they're eating their seed. Well, I wonder why it's not growing. Huh, here, have another hand for seed, you know? I mean, that's pretty stupid. And it's the same way in the Bible. Let me just close. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on money, but money is important. No money, no ministry. Say that with me. No money, no ministry. And I make no apologies about money because I've seen what ministry has done for people, lives that were put back together. And I know that there are people out there and that don't ask for money. And of all the people that I know, our ministry is probably one of the low-keyest about money. Wherever I go, I said, there's my mailing list. If you want to sign up, sign up. We'll put an envelope inside, and if you feel led, give some money. But if not, then don't give. We don't care. Because our source is the Lord. But it's important for your sake that you learn and understand. There isn't anything that has helped me more than understanding sowing my finances. And if I wanted to grow in other areas of my life, I want to grow in my finances. And we no longer, and at the risk of sounding like I'm bragging, but I want to share and model with you that Diane and I, since I've been married, have a goal is that somewhere in our life, we want to give 90% and give 10%. Now, we're not there, but we're close to giving 40% of our income every year. We've grown from 10% to 40%, and I've never had more in my life. I have never given more, and I have never received more in my entire life. I mean, God has done for me what I could never do for myself. And we want to grow next year in our giving. To that point, to where we live on 10% and we sow 90% out into the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, it works. Let me tell you something else. Malachi, we'll read this and we'll close. Make a few comments and we'll close. Our most important financial responsibility is to God. Malachi 3, verses 8 through 11 says this. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me, but you say, how have we robbed you? And he said, in tithes and offering, you are cursed with a curse. When you don't tithe, you are cursed with a curse. For you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. And then it says here, bring the whole tithe. Now let me tell you what it talks about the whole tithe. The whole tithe means is that you tithe off the gross, not the net. How many know Uncle Sam taxes you off the gross, not the net? And so you tithe, the whole tithe means not only tithing off the gross, but it also means if there's any other income in your house, if the wife works, she should tithe, even if it's a small, substantial amount. If the children work, they should tithe. My wife works one day a week in the school, she tithes. My children get an allowance every week, they tithe. It's bringing the whole tithe. And it's only the whole tithe that will do what I'm about to say in a moment. Nothing else will do. You can't give a partial tithe and expect to reap a full reward. It says bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord, if I will not open up the windows of heaven. The whole tithe is what opens up the window of heaven and pours out a blessing on you that you can't contain. I want you to know I have more than enough. And when I only had a third of what I had a more than enough. That's the attitude that you've got to have. See, if you don't feel like you have enough, then you're always going to be holding back. So I ain't got enough to pay my bills. I've always taken the posture, I've got more than enough. Because what I have is the Lord, and the Lord has promised to meet all my needs. I don't look into my checking account and see whether I have enough or not. I look into the Word of God, and the Word of God says I have more than enough. You understand? I don't give based on what I have or what I don't have. I give based on what the Lord says. And the Lord says, you have more than enough. And so, bam. And that's the posture we need to take. And then it says here, let me just quickly say this and we're closing. For he says, then, everyone say this with me, then I will rebuke the devourer. And that's important. Let me tell you something. God's going to get it one way or the other. Either God gets it or the devourer gets it. You don't pay your tithes or you don't give the money that God is requiring you to give. Believe me, the mechanics will get it. The doctors will get it. The devourer will not be rebuked, and it'll be eating up your automobile, be eating up the health of your children. It'll be eating up different things in your life. And believe me, you are going to pay. And you won't get the blessing that you can't contain. Does that make sense? And if we need to go on as a group of people who want to be committed to God, to one another, and wherever else that we go to church, then we need to be committed. We need to be committed to assembling of ourselves to one another. We need to be committed to fellowship. We need to be committed to doing. We need to be committed to serving. And we need to be committed to giving. If we're going to go on. Now next week I'm going to share on being a helper, and at the end in next week's bulletin, we didn't have one tonight, we're going to give an opportunity for all of you to find a place on where you could help us in this ministry. Different categories, different things that we need done, office work, children's work, computer work, whatever, and so that you can have a place and help us to carry on. And whether we go forward, it will depend on the effort of all of us together if we're going to move forward. I believe that we have the beginnings of God doing something wonderful in our midst. There are a lot of people here that would never even be in church if this wasn't here. This is a valuable thing for a lot of people. It's a way station. For a lot of people, for them to get, it's like the Good Samaritan, they come in and get healthy, and they may move on and become part of a local body. That's our ultimate goal. And we don't know what the Lord has for us down the road, but what it does have for us now is that we need to be committed. Let's stand together. I'm sorry I took a little bit long. Next week I won't be as long. I promise to be at least 2 or 3 minutes shorter. And I'm not going to call for a commitment now because this is just one part. Next week, we're going to have to give you a chance to respond. I just want to close in prayer. Father, I thank you that you're a God who loves us. And you're committed to us. Your commitment is that you sent your Son to live and die for all of us. And you're committed to us and that you sent the Holy Spirit. And you're committed continually to us, Lord. Help us to model that kind of commitment to one another. Help us to be to each other what we'd like to be to you. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name, to find the value and the potency and the power of commitment to you and to your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's greet one another as we go.